Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the number one online broadcast network for movie talk, this is Bollywood, the show where we break down all you need to know about Bollywood and its movies.
Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network. It's time for your weekly dose of spice with Bollywood. If you guys are watching this live, hello to you. Make sure to use the hashtag Popcorn Talk Network as well as the hashtag Bollywood. I'm your host, Kanika Lal. Follow me on Twitter at Kanika Lal and Instagram at You Can Have It Lal. And I'm joined by my co-host for today.
Hey everyone, Vivian Adobe here, Vivaciously Viv on Instagram and Twitter. We have so much to talk about today, and we have such a cute co-host, guest co-host.
We do.
This might be a little embarrassing. I just added you out as a total hottie macaque hot, but
is there someone else here? I'm all nervous now.
Well, before we introduce this hottie, though, we need to let you guys
know who you're talking about. Someone else coming? I don't know.
To make sure to follow Popcorn Talk Network on all social media platforms. We've got YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook even. You know, keep commenting, liking, disliking. We want to know what you want to hear more of because obviously the show is for you guys. So log on to all of those and let us know what you guys think. So time to get to our special guest today who I don't even know where to begin. Okay, former model, Mr. India Global. He was an award-winning filmmaker at age 21, so to speak. He is named one of the top 50 coolest Desis in the world. What else do we got here? He also has a very hot new show out, Keeping Up with the Guptas, which is out now at 20th Century Fox, which, you know, we'll talk a little bit about. And most importantly, he was named India's sex symbol by South Asia Magazine.
See, I was not lying.
Sunny Tripathi, everyone!
Thank you. Yeah, those are all, like, exaggerations to the max, but thank you.
Hey, you still achieved it, so you still got it. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. So, first of all, I want to do a little bit of a fun rapid-fire round. It's called Garam Masala.
Oh, God.
Okay. Prepare yourself.
My garam masala round, just to get
I just don't do well with garam masala in general, like spice. So
I was going to actually bring that in so you can just, you know.
Perfect.
Yeah. But I didn't, so you should like me for that. But so viewers can get to know, and listeners get to know you in a different light.
Sure.
Ready? Okay. First thing you ate this morning?
Mexican food.
Okay. Favorite word?
Spectacular.
You're taking too long with your answers.
Yeah, faster.
Sorry.
Biggest pet peeve?
Stupidity.
Last person who texted you?
Dad.
Oh, that's cute.
Best and worst thing about Sunny T?
Best?
Perseverance. Worst? Self-control.
Okay. Hollywood film you have been in, you have been part of in a heartbeat?
Anyone.
Avatar.
What would it be the first thing you would do if you woke up as Kanye West?
Just stop.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Hero.
Amitabh Bachchan.
Hero.
So you would hero if you woke up as them. Like, I am a hero.
What would you do?
Keep going.
Keep going. Yeah. Do what you have to do. Yeah. All right, one word reaction to these three words. Chicken tikka masala.
Vegetarian.
Los Angeles.
Love it.
Politics.
Scary.
Travel.
Love.
Impossible.
False.
A piece of advice you wish you got 10 years ago?
To enjoy the failures.
Have you enjoyed the failures?
No, you haven't
had too many of them.
No, I have. You'll learn.
Which is why I asked that. Yeah. And last question. Which Bollywood film should have a Hollywood remake?
Ooh. Lagan.
Ah, that's a good
beautiful
one.
Movie.
That's a good answer. Yeah. I like that.
And it's not like trying to be Hollywood. It is just core Bollywood, and it's beautiful. So
tell the viewers who don't know about Lagan what it's about.
Lagan is a movie about oppression in India during the British colonial rule, and it is this amazing story of a small village that tries to overcome the oppression and the severe taxation of the British during a drought. And they do so by playing a game of cricket and challenging the British to a bet. And it is a very, like, triumphant and uplifting film, which I think is both inspiring and beautifully done and colorful and has great music. And I think it shows at its core that India has great storytelling. And I think it's great when we, like, focus on telling our stories and not trying to mimic Western films, because Lagan was great.
Right. That's very clever with the cricket and bets. Yeah. Everyone will do a bet.
Yeah.
I mean, India is known for their cricket, right? So do a movie that kind of plays up the pride of India and really just shows its values without, like you saying, overplaying it.
Yeah.
They need to just do a lot more of those films, I think. In Bollywood. So that is a good answer.
Thank you.
You passed somewhat.
That was terrifying. Fire round. I shit my pants.
Okay. You just need to do a little bit more practice.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Good. But let's start with your early stages, right?
Okay.
About
kind when of, I was born. You want to see the video?
Okay. We'll fast forward to your speaking times.
I mean, you were a performer and entertainer since, like, the age of four, right? What was it about this field that always sparked your interest?
I think I enjoyed entertaining people ever since I was a kid. Whether it was, like, dancing or trying to tell jokes or singing, which I'm terrible at. Or
are you sure?
Playing, I'm terrible. I can hear my voice in this, and I can tell you how terrible my singing would be. Dancing, playing the drums, playing tabla, and I found a value in entertaining people, and I really enjoyed seeing people's reactions, and if I can make someone laugh, or if I could make someone cry with the story, or whatever it was, I liked getting that kind of attention. I like trying to take people out of the normal world and just putting them inside their own brain, which can be fun.
So when did other people start to recognize that, oh, wait, he's a little bit of a performer here?
So first people were like, who's that kid? Because it was, like, not good performing. It was just performing, and it was, like, I was the oddball out. And then in time, like, the community, actually the Indian community that we have up north, and I'm from a state called Orissa, and we have these, like, Oriyas, and there's a great community, and they would support me, and they would, when we'd have events, they would, like, encourage me to dance and sing and perform and do stand-up. And even though it was kind of bad in the beginning, I think I got the self-confidence to keep going. And then you quickly learn how bad you are, but you have the confidence to now pursue these things seriously. And then that was very helpful. So I slowly got that backbone. So I wasn't scared.
Do you still play the tabla?
I do.
Which is Indian percussion,
yes.
By the way, the drums.
I'm not as good as I was about 6 years ago because I was practicing every day, but I could still knock out a tune or two.
Why are you slacking?
Oh, wow.
I know. Yeah. It's just really hard to, like, in a busy day to just stop and, like, start doing some bongos.
For,
like,
I know, right?
Get back to life. It's hard. But it
must be a good kind of therapy, too, though. I think any instrument, anything of art is good therapy for
you. It is.
So.
Music, and I listen to music, like, all day long. So.
Completely.
Who are you listening to right now?
I'm listening to a lot of soundtracks, actually. So I listen to a lot of John Powell, Hans Zimmer, A.R. Rahman, who I love. And I love trancey music, and I do like some occasional house, but I like things that get me thinking, so.
Yeah, definitely. So did you always knew, though, like when you were going to high school, when you were going to college, that you will be pursuing what you are pursuing now? Because you were kind of applying for your real estate license, you were doing other business-related work.
Yeah,
right?
It was just
a
mess.
Didn't you go to school for engineering?
Yeah, I never thought I was actually going to pursue this. This is something that I had been extremely passionate about, wanted to do forever, and I had this amazing passion for storytelling, but I never thought, well, I mean, it's just not a career. And if you think about it in the traditional sense, we are taught to believe that it's an impossible career, that, like, this few, not just 1%, but, like, a 1% of a 1% get the opportunity to actually turn those passions into a career. And
literally,
it's
1%.
Yeah.
Right. Especially coming from a foreign household where when you're a first generation.
Yes.
And Indians. So Indian parents do not really support us going into entertainment.
Absolutely.
But what can they do but just be like, all right, beta.
It's cool because I understand their worries because it is hard. It is stressful. And we come from, like, I always used to fight with my parents, like, I want to do this, I want to study film, I want to do this, and they were like, they used to get mad and get upset, and we used to argue a lot, but I tried to realize from their perspective, like, they grew up in, you know, dirt poor villages in India, and the only way out was engineering or medical and having a stable career, and then they came here, and they've worked hard to build their life. They're just not familiar with how this world works,
right?
So I think they're afraid that they want to protect us and they want us to mm-hmm. do well. And so it is that like worry that they know they can help us with this field and how this field works, but this is the unknown. And
yeah, to the gray area.
The gray area, and to leave the safety of the nest and what we know, or leave the jungle entirely, yeah. I think that scares them. So I have a lot of respect for why they were so yeah. scared. Before, I used to just, you know, fight with them about it, but I do understand. Yeah. Because there are times it's like I've left the jungle and I'm like, oh yeah. my God, I missed the jungle.
I know, right?
This is me flying away. I guess. Yeah. I but you think about it and you go, it is scary because yeah. you'll be flying through the dark for a long time. So,
but it seems like it seems like, you know, hardships and failures that you possibly went through in your lifetime maybe have changed you. I mean, I know yeah. I'm not sure what age you were, but you were shopping for your high school tux for prom, yeah. and right. an unfortunate incident happened to you.
Yeah.
So can you explain what happened and how that kind of changed your viewpoint?
Yeah, sure. So I was 16. It was the day of prom, and I had my tux rental waiting for me at the mall, and I was working at a Jamba Juice at the time, so oh, nice. Don't be too impressed, guys. one day it'll get on my level. I was 16. I was working at Jamba Juice. And my mom came to pick me up, and we went to the mall to go get my tux, literally 4 hours before photos and all of that. Mm-hmm. And we went inside. We realized I left my receipt in the car. So I told my mom, hang here. I'm going to go get the receipt. I'll be right back. Mm-hmm. So I went back to the car, and then on my way, I guess I was being followed by, like, three skinheads from, I think, somewhere in Oakland, like a neo-Nazi gang. And I didn't really know what was happening, and I was literally walking towards my car. I heard something about, like, terrorist or some sort of racial remark, and then all I remember is when I turned around, like, my head was bashed in, they broke my collarbone.
Oh, my God.
The detective said they had brass knuckles, so, like, my nose was broken, my arm was broken, my back was injured. I just kind of, like, conked out. I have no idea what happened, and then I woke in the hospital, like, a couple hours later. So it definitely... It was an intense experience, and it was really terrifying at first because I've grown up, I was born in Canada, I was raised in the United States. You grow up thinking that you're just like part of your group of friends because I don't see any differences between my group of friends, and we're all yeah. different races, we're all different, come from different backgrounds, but we're all just Americans having a good time. And that kind of scared me. It was like, it was the first realization that I'm different, that I'm not part necessarily of this crew, yeah. or I am, but not everybody thinks so. And, you know, for a while, it was a couple dark days. And I think, though, what ended up happening is I didn't really have a lot of people to talk to. Everybody, of course, came in to try to support, but it's hard to understand what it's like. So I started writing. And so actually my passion for storytelling and all of that, which at the time was not so, had not taken that big of a threshold.
Right.
That launched my career, in a way, into writing into my own, the equivalent of a diary. But,
yeah, channeling your inner thoughts.
And... Right. And I would write all these short stories where I would overcome my issues as the mm-hmm. hero or what have you.
It must have been very therapeutic for you.
It was. And my writing wasn't great before that, and nor did I really have any kind of driving factor. But I think that life or death moment was because I believe one of the guys was like later caught in trouble for something serious, like potential murder or something like that. So
wow.
I realized I got out of that situation in the best way possible, and I'm alive
right.
despite all the injuries.
So alive to tell your story.
Alive to tell my story. So with that like life or death moment, I think it inspired me to really try hard to, I don't know, pursue the dreams. So
and it also led you to doing a lot more community work. I mean, you're a part of donating to a lot of charities. You're really into raising social awareness. So even your film Naked Innocence, which won quite a few different awards, it yeah. was screened at Warner Brothers.
Yeah,
wasn't that kind of about? Well, you can explain it, but
yeah, no. I think it just opened my eyes to social awareness issues,
yeah.
not just mm-hmm. race related, because. You realize that these kind of things, hate crimes in general, they happen to everybody. They happen to different races, different orientations, and it's so prevalent. You see that going on with black churches now and,
yeah,
and police
definitely.
Brutality
yeah.
and Muslims being, you know, segregated and treated differently. I mean, it's gay rights. Every single social issue, I think, has some sort of relevance and importance, and it didn't mean so much to me before that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that point kind of made me realize that I started to sympathize with everybody's cause a little bit, because I realized I was in that group now. That because you think, it doesn't bother me, it doesn't affect me,
until it happens to you.
Until it happens to you. And then you really understand, like, what it feels like.
And that's a very early age to really get that new perspective on everything. It's totally, well, of course, life-altering, but I'm sure it even changed the nature of your work also. And
People tell me I'm, like, mentally 90, so it's, like, kind of scary. I think that point, I used to be, like, a child up until 16, and then, like, that week made me age, so like, 20 years because you kind of just think back and you really start thinking about your life. I think anybody with a near life or death experience probably has that.
What can you do but turn it upside down and think of it as a blessing in disguise, right? That's
absolutely
the only way to turn your life around. So, and you did that. So it's more, just more, like, hate to be all preachy, but really is just more inspiration for others, like, turn every single negative situation into some sort of positive. There's always a sunny side to something.
That was the best pun ever.
You definitely wrote that down.
I literally did not.
You're like, all right, I gotta get the sunny side in.
Yeah, please, people.
All props to Kanika.
It was amazing.
But your work, okay, I need some sort of timeline on it, because it's like you were a comedian, you did a lot of stand-up comedy, but then you also did a lot of on-camera work in terms of acting.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden you were modeling here and there. I mean, here you are at Mr. India Global.
Looking very dapper.
Oh my God, are those photos of me?
Ew, yes.
Gross.
As a former beauty queen to, I guess, a former beauty king,
former implies that I look like shit now. Because you're like, as someone who, like, a long time ago,
looked
okay. How was it back in the glory days now that you're all withered away?
But did you like?
I started the show calling you Hottie McHot Hot.
Okay. That's fair.
Did you enjoy, you know, modeling for, because you had a lot of different brands that you were in charge of, Mountain Dew, HTC, UCLA, even your own school.
Right.
Did that lead you to doing more, just, okay, actually, I want to be more behind the camera?
Sure.
What was your timeline there?
To be honest, actually, so I had really been interested in filmmaking and writing. That was a passion. And I just, like, I didn't know how to break in. And there's really no way to break in. It's like, I would go to, like, studios with my scripts when I was 17, and then they would be like, get lost, come back with an agent. Then I'd go to agencies, and they'd be like, come back with a referral from the studios. And I was like, how do I, it's a catch 22. How do you bridge that gap? So in the interim, while I was writing my scripts, I needed something to at least get some exposure and network, because a lot of people are fortunate enough to have a lot of good connections.
Yeah.
We had none. Like, we know, my dad at one point, he was so cute. He was like, okay, you're trying to do movies, right? I have a friend, he works at Toshiba DVD maker. It's movies. Maybe I'll do an introduction. I was like, so he works at the DVD player company? He's like, yeah, movies. And I was like, you know, I don't think he's going to, I really appreciate it. So they don't understand networking in that sense. And I needed to do whatever I could. So I found out about this pageant, and it's a lot of fun. It's run by a woman named Jinder Chohan. It's called the Mr. Miss India Global Pageant, and Mr. and Miss India America. And I was, like, really embarrassed. I was like, I don't do pageants. Like,
every man
says
that until he
wins. Do I have to wear a Speedo and just walk around? And so I didn't tell anybody.
Sunny and a Speedo.
Yeah, no problem with the Speedo part. But I was like, all right, this is kind of embarrassing, but I didn't tell anybody, and I entered the pageant, and it was fun. I felt a little bad because a lot of people were taking it really seriously. Like, they'd come from, like, South Africa and London, and I was like, I should probably be a little bit more serious about this. And then I secretly did it, and then I think I won Mr. Photogenic and Mr. India Global. And what was good and what was my goal is that I got to network with, like, the judges and the executives who had come, and I met some people from NBC and some agents and managers. So I started getting a lot of modeling gigs from that opportunity, which was great. But at the same time, though, it almost kind of didn't work as well for the writing stuff, because people think that, like, you're
on
an idiot
camera.
Because they're like, oh, you're just stand there and look pretty. And I was like, actually, I need you to read this. It's my script. And they're like, oh, he thinks he's literate. How cute is that? And I was like, no, I'm better on paper than on camera. But that's how it kind of started. And then from time to time, you know, I loved working with HTC. They reached out, and they have a new phone coming out, and they said, we want you to, you know, be the face for this phone and do a shoot.
That's been really cool, though.
It was really fun, and they are all so nice to work with. And it was different, and I enjoyed, like, keeping things interesting, because sometimes as a writer, it can get really boring. Like, you're just sitting in different cafes, homes,
that's true,
or offices, and just
spicing it up
in there. So sometimes it's just glam up. And,
yeah, no, why not?
Yeah, take some photos, no harm.
What about Last Teen Standing? Was that really your first time on stage? And
no, it wasn't my first time on stage. I think it was my first time trying, like, mainstream comedy. I'd been doing stand-up, like, at local Indian events, and I would do them actually in different languages. They were not even in English. It was in Hindi or Oriya.
Okay.
But I... yeah, go ahead.
No, no, explain just Oriya for the viewers who might not know. Oreos,
yeah.
Yeah,
Oreos. Oreos are great, too.
Yeah, they are. Big fans.
It was... it's a language from the state of Odisha in India, which is where my family and I are from.
Because not many people are aware that they are actually different states in India. Yeah. They might just think there's different
regions.
You're
just all brown, right?
Yeah, like, right?
That's
yeah.
all they know.
There's like a north and yeah. a south, but whatever.
And I love Tandoor Kitchen on Santa Monica. Yeah, right? I love tikka masala. That's all you guys. Which we take credit for.
We're no, like, completely.
Yeah.
I'm proud of that.
Oh, yeah. Samosa?
Saffron
that's
kitchen?
All me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all me. Yeah, Odisha is like a northeast state, and it's got a completely different dialect from Hindi, so that was my first language.
Can you
actually
say one thing?
Moriere Kathao Jebe, which means I'm speaking in Oriya. So,
oh,
yeah,
that's not really that. Cool.
But say in Hindi how the difference is.
Me Hindi me baat kar raha hun. So it's like different.
I don't think anyone can tell the difference, but I can.
Oh, there you go. See?
Yeah, no, I totally can, but I'm just saying for English speaking, it's kind of hard.
It's very different. It's like Mandarin and
though.
Korean. Like,
yeah.
They're not even, you know,
that's true.
Cantonese. It's a far difference.
True.
So. Yes.
So what now more...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, now we're going to go into more of your today's
sure.
work, which one of your... I guess you started off doing a fun project.
Yeah.
With Keeping Up with the Guptas, and now it's like huge.
Right.
Well, I don't know about huge, but it was
well, at least it's getting noticed
yeah,
by important people. That's
very important
that's what
people.
I mean. But tell us about the whole journey.
Okay. From day one, when I was born. Let's start with the birthing video.
No,
I really want you guys to play
video.
That. No one will air it.
Maybe next time you come to Bollywood, we can consider it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how
yeah.
about when you... What made you come up with the idea in the first place to talk about your family this way?
So Guptas was... You know, things were just... I think it was kind of around the 2008 recession, and things were a little messy at home, and... Everybody was just kind of distant and stressed out, and, you know, not everybody was getting along. You know, my parents, my sister, me, everyone. So I had been writing a lot of stuff, and I'd been doing stand-up, and I thought it would be kind of fun to have a project that would just force my family to hang out and spend some time together. And so I wrote this little script called Keeping Up with the Guptas. I went up north with a couple buddies of mine, a guy named Sahil from UCLA and a friend Sumi from UC Irvine. And I convinced everybody to help me shoot this. We shot a little web series with my actual parents, with myself. My sister made a cameo. My friends were in it. And honestly, it was a family bonding exercise. Mm-hmm. It was not something... In fact, it was just terrible production value. We had no equipment. I went to like... Circuit City, and that doesn't even exist anymore. So that's how terrible it was.
I used to go there.
Right?
Oh my god, you just like went back memory
lane. Don't
cry.
Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna. I'll try not to cry.
Okay. So I had a really terrible camera, and we didn't have any quality microphones or anything. So horrible execution, but it was really fun and funny, and we got to really spend time together as a family, and I think it really reconnected my family in a fun new way because everybody's always busy. Everybody's working and stressed, and you know, dinner conversations just became non-existent, and it was like people would just kind of come, eat their dinner, and leave, and it made me a little sad that the family just had nothing to communicate
talk
or
about.
Talk about.
Yeah.
So this became this, like, fun activity that we started doing, like, several days in a row and on weekends and from morning till night, like, with the whole family, and we're filming scenes and improvising and writing scripts and shooting and coming up with all these crazy characters, and it was just a riot. Like, we were having a fun time in our own little world, and my cousins and some family friends said, we want to see the videos, you know, we love your parents, because I thought, again, it's very close to my family, send it over to us. And then I put like a couple clips on YouTube and then sent it to them, and then very quickly, you know, the hits were going from, you know, 10,000 to 50,000 to 70,000.
Oh, wow.
And then people started downloading it and reposting it illegally on other sites, which was good for us because we would still get like 70,000 here, 100,000
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
So it was in the Times of India. The Lakers were watching it. Like, people were actually thought this family was really, really funny. And at the same time, I was still here trying to meet agents, meet studios, et cetera, because I had written so many things and I wanted to share them. But no one knew who I was, so no one cared. But that actually ended up opening enough doors that I was able to meet, you know, agencies and studios and networks. which kind of led to how things came together today.
Well, weren't you at Fox and you were looking just for kind of a regular writing position?
Yeah, all
of a
sudden I wouldn't be happy with the custodian position.
Right. I know, if anything at Fox. But they were actually interested in your concept of Keeping Up with the Goodwills, and you walked out of the room with actually almost a deal, right?
Yeah, so it is a deal. It's a development deal. It's still in the works. So basically, we had gone in there because my agents had set me up to see if there's any staffing positions open. I had written a bunch of other specs and original scripts that they had liked, and they're always interested in seeing if there's a young writer who could work on somebody else's show. Mm-hmm. And I met with a VP and SVP over there, and they were so nice to me and so awesome. They were so nice. I got really comfortable. It almost became like therapeutic. And I just like laid down and started telling them all about my life. I was like, and then I used to be fat and people used to believe me and my parents were so embarrassed. And then I dated a fat girl and it was just like this huge mess. And I was like, it turned into a counseling session and they were like, oh my God, this kid has issues. But issues make for a great television.
Yeah, they do.
So
great writing.
Yeah. And, I did not get a staffing position there at the time, but they decided they wanted to develop a show kind of loosely based on my life and my family's life. It's not really Keeping Up with the Guptas, but it has similar inspiration, and it'll be about an Indian American family in the U.S. and it should be fun. So that's kind of how that all happened. It was very weird. It's like people think things happen overnight. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that for like 6 years, you're literally writing every day, you're going to meetings, you're trying, and you're getting absolutely nowhere, but you're getting better, and you're getting better, and your scripts are getting better, and one by one, more and more people around town start to get to know you, and each executive, each agent, each manager, each producer, as you kind of become known within that network, you put yourself in line to get that opportunity.
And you definitely put yourself in a line in a good place just because right now television is so open to diversity. Mm-hmm. Just
definitely.
Now.
Even just
it's progressing
shows.
Slowly. Yeah, like we had Fresh Off the Boat on ABC, which was about an Asian American family, or, you know, what are they, Korean?
Yes.
Actually, no, they were Chinese.
I think.
I covered
Taiwan?
That show for AfterBuzz TV, so that was anyways, so it's a good time now because I feel like they're open to these kind of ideas. But I remember us talking kind of before, and the whole concept of Keeping Up with the Guptas, it's really to stray away from the typical stereotypes, right, of an Indian family. It's more like it's a family.
Yeah.
With normal problems that your family goes through, but it just they happen to be Indian. So how much of it, I mean, I know you can't tell me so much of what's, you know, the premise of it, but maybe your hopes for it instead.
Sure.
How much of the Indian touch would you like it to be in there, and how much of it would you not?
So it opens in a 7-Eleven with a guy in a turban curry, and then he farts, and then he smells bad, and then it is completely, I want to avoid all stereotypes as much as possible. I want it to be a show that is just about an American family that happens to be Indian, and we get to incorporate our culture and our understanding of the world. But it's not through stereotypes, not through cheesy jokes about, you know, turbans or bindis, which we call dots or whatever it is. It is learning this culture and appreciating it. I think I don't want people to see it and go, that's a show about Indians. I want people to see it and be like, that's an awesome show. Kind of like The Cosby Show, where
that's true.
Nobody said, oh, look at this black comedy.
Right,
it was a great family show that everybody could relate to.
Yeah.
And you learn small things about black culture through it, but you don't see it as different. And that's how I want the show to be. I want people to appreciate and understand Indian culture, but not have to look at it like they're seeing something through a, you know, a Zoom mirror or whatever it is. Like, look at those.
Mm-hmm. But will you address those topics?
Absolutely.
Because another show that's really popular right now, similar to Cosby Show, is Black-ish.
Yep.
And they kind of like walk that thin line between we're just trying to show a family, but it's called Black-ish, so we do have to address some things that are talked about and considered black culture.
Yeah, I think we address everything from things like the importance of grades in education to Indian marriages and hot topics like arranged marriages or cultural issues or Hindu-Muslim relationships. Or
will there be any Bollywood in Keeping Up with the
Guptas? I have no idea, to
be honest.
They
have to be watching Bollywood movies.
I mean, I'm going to be the first one to volunteer to take my shirt off and dance around like a tree with like 30 dancers. I don't know if they'll go for the pitch. But there will be a lot of color, and it'll be interesting. And again, it's a development deal, so we still have to take it out to networks and see how the networks respond. Mm-hmm. So we've got 20th behind it, which is good, and an amazing, great team over there. And then we'll kind of see if who who picks it up or who's interested, but I think it should be fun. And like I said, I want people to learn about our culture, but in a way that makes it understandable and it's not like you're looking through something different.
What do your parents think? Especially since really they were part of the original.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. They're the ones
my mom's like, it's all me. Yeah.
No, she's like your mom's character. I was going to shout out to, for those of you who have not seen Keeping Up with the Guptas, make sure to check it out on YouTube. It's under your YouTube page, Sunny T.
Sunny T Films.
Sunny T Films.
And you can search Keeping Up with the Guptas and you'll find it.
His family is more
sensationalized.
Sensationalized. Sorry, guys. I can have speech problems sometimes.
It's okay.
They're more of an exaggerated sense of themselves. So that's what probably makes it even more inviting to watch, especially your mom.
Yeah.
Your mom is probably one of the most favorite characters out of it.
She is. She is the best character. She's everybody loves her. It's funny because when that show kind of became a hit in our town in Northern California, people, it's a small town, so my parents suddenly became famous. And I will not forget, we had gone to the movies to go see like Inception or something, and everybody wanted to take photos, like all these like high schoolers, like college kids, everybody was going up to my parents. And the funniest part is I was with them. And everybody was like, oh my God, could we get a picture with the Guptas? And I was like, yeah, of course. And they were like, here. And they'd go stand with my parents. And I was like, yeah, no, it's cool.
You became the cameraman.
I became the cameraman. And I'm happy to do it because they are so funny.
Yeah.
And they're solid. I really hope that we could try. I'm going to push for my mom to potentially be on the Fox Project because she's actually that good and actually that funny. She has way more fans than anybody else in her space.
I think your dad's good too, though.
Yeah,
your
dad
and your mom work well together, obviously because they're married. But he balances her out.
He does. They're polar opposites, and it's great.
It is. Yeah. Well, best of luck to that
show.
I'm really excited to see its development.
Thank you.
But I don't want to stray away too much from the topic of Bollywood. But obviously, this panel, for those of you who might be like, well, "Where's Bollywood coming in?"
Yeah. When is Sunny going to dance?
When is Sunny going to dance? It's Indian Americans, right? It's Indian Americans in India. It's Indian Americans in America that we're trying to take notice of. And you're one of them. And there's many more. And I'm proud to just, create more awareness on that.
Sure.
So, but your opinions on Bollywood, the Bollywood industry, where do you think it's headed? And do you think everything is going to be in mainstream America, showing films that people are actually talking about in the news?
Sure. So I think Bollywood's an interesting space. They have a lot of money. They churn out more films than any other industry in the world. Not all of them are great films. In fact, a lot are not. But they do have some phenomenal films. I think Bollywood's greatest strength is when they focus on Indian stories and Indian storytelling. And that's when I think it's most beautiful and really well done. When they try to imitate, like all studios and all companies and all countries try to emulate Hollywood in their own film industry.
Right.
And I think that can sometimes ruin things a little bit because it's really hard to outdo someone like Warner Brothers. And you shouldn't have to. You have your own stories to tell. They're doing theirs. You should do yours and you'll be most successful. Like movies like Lagan or Three Idiots or great movies like that that I think India is really proud of. I do think Bollywood is going to start making a move here. I'm fortunate enough to know the Lola family who runs Eros International.
Oh, wow.
And they're awesome, and they have some very cool things in the works. Potentially some collaborations with projects here. I mean, they just did Dil Dhadakne, though, which was awesome.
Yeah, I have to see that.
It's hilarious. Priyanka Chopra and Anil Kapoor, they all did an awesome job.
Yeah, I heard they did.
Yeah, it was good. And I took a lot of my American friends, including some from Fox.
Really?
And I was kind of nervous, and I was like, they are never going to talk to me again. But we got, so I warmed them up to it with, like, Indian food. We went to an Indian restaurant. Had chicken
really
tikka masala.
Put them into the culture.
I was like, yeah, they were all, like, warm and comfortable.
And cozy, so they
exactly.
could watch a movie.
And we saw it in theaters, and they actually all were laughing out loud and really enjoyed it. So I think when we focus on our best stories and doing it well, it will be well received here. And it's just a matter of time before hopefully there's a lot more Indian American crossover work, be it things like the Guptas.
Well, exactly. And but we also have Priyanka Chopra, who's starring in Quantico, which is a new fall show. And we see Hrithik Roshan, who's now also starring in a Hollywood production. Of course, we've seen Amitabh Bachchan in The Great Gatsby. I feel that maybe he's such a big hit in India and doing a small role in America. I'm not sure how he feels about that. Sometimes it could really subdue someone's ego. But anyways, besides the point.
I think it's good. I think it's humbling because the problem is in India, people, I do know a lot of people from Bollywood, and sometimes sometimes some of them, their heads can get really high because in India they're treated like gods, because in the film industry is the equivalent of gods in India.
Yep.
So coming here is a really important and humbling way to keep them all grounded, because suddenly they realize they have to like still fight to get the attention of the world. So I think it's a great thing. I think they handle it well, probably, and I'm sure it's humbling for them.
Would you ever get attached to a Bollywood production? Would you ever want to work in that? Or?
It looks like there might actually be some opportunities for that coming up around the corner. So I think just like Indians are coming here to try to learn the American voice, I might try to take a little bit of the American voice over to India and try to see how that fits in Indian content and Indian programming as well. So,
what do you think Indians in India need? How can they be more Americanized through an Indian's perspective living in America? Does that make sense? That was a question.
Try again.
So
you're close.
You want to be a voice for Indians in India from your perspective living as an Indian American in America.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What message would you want to come across? What do you think they need to hear? How will you be that voice? That's my question, I guess.
I think it'll be an interesting perspective because we have very different upbringings. So people in India have their own upbringing. People here have their own upbringing. I think the good thing is that our upbringing here has been a lot more liberal. Mm-hmm. So be it our opinions on social issues and equality and for, you know, women's rights and gay rights and religious rights and all of that, I think it's been a lot more liberal over here. And so I think that is the kind of openness I want to take back to India. So a lot of my projects, the projects that I have in development that we might be partnering up with some Indian team members for, a lot of them actually touch on those issues where in rural areas where there's still caste systems or women are not still treated equally or, you know, all of that sort of stuff, social issues over there. I think that is going to be the main thing that I would try to push over there. That's the only thing I think I can really try to spearhead and offer a little bit more of than people within the country.
It sounds like you're trying to go over there and push some boundaries.
Yeah.
Someone needs to. There needs to be a bunch of people who have to do that.
Yeah.
If you're proud of your country and your culture.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's not going to be easy and it's going to be scary.
It's not.
And
India, unfortunately, is very headstrong in their ways. Yeah. At least the people who rule it, right? The elders. But the generation that are...
It's a great generation.
Oh,
the young people
gosh,
are awesome.
They're so liberal.
Yeah, yeah. Too liberal sometimes.
Yeah,
some clothes.
I know,
wait,
actually.
You can take it off. I think that's a great thing. It's the exciting thing
is
that the younger generation, just like us, understands us. We all have the same mentalities and the same openness and, you know, issues. And I think that's exciting because the people who are really bigoted are starting to die out quite literally.
Yeah.
And it's great. And it's just a cleanse of like better, nicer, more open, more loving people. And so I want to just go there
and
push it.
With the old and with the new.
Yeah. As long as the new is good. Yeah.
But speaking of Indian Americans, you also met Mindy Kaling. You guys were both named the top 50 of the coolest faces
in
the world.
She's way cooler than I am.
She is really cool. And I'm also proud of her because I think you also mentioned that she is someone who is aware of her Indian culture, but she's not defined by it.
Exactly.
But she also gave you some piece of advice that...
A lot.
Or something you mentioned. I just want to know what she kind of told you that.
Sure. I met her twice. I wish we were BFFs. We're definitely not.
You will be
BFFs in your head.
Oh, in my head. Yeah. We are married. Yeah. We've got like four kids. I don't know if you know. And two dogs, if you were too far. No, she was great. The two times I met her, they were actually really stressful points in my life. I didn't have agents. I didn't have managers. I had just literally been working internships. I couldn't even get a script through the door. And when she was sitting, she was prepping for a speech and we chatted and she talked about her journey, like the amount of internships she had to do, the unpaid internships. She was literally babysitting at the age that I was when I met her and I was stressing out. She was like babysitting for money. And this is, I think, just before she was working for Conan or Saturday Night Live. And she really put in the time and effort, and kind of learning her darker days helped me not only appreciate her better ones, but know that it's possible because I was fortunate enough to run into her when she was hitting her best days and I was in my dark ones. And she essentially just opened me up to her darker days. And it was really nice to see. It was a good motivation because you want people who have really struggled and worked hard to be successful, because there's nothing more I guess, unmotivating than seeing people who are insanely successful who either don't deserve it or haven't worked for it.
Right.
So seeing these people, like, from the grassroots and from the bottom actually climbing their way up to the top and going through some really difficult stuff to get there, that's so inspiring. I feed off of that kind of energy.
Completely. We're feeding off of it right now.
Completely. Psyched. And someday you'll be able to do the same thing with someone else, you know, shining your light.
Very little light, so it's like limited light right
now.
It'll grow. It definitely will. And the last thing I also want to bring up, and you have to tell me something about it, because I've been reading like a little reports about it, something about the Mahabharata.
Oh, interesting.
It is very interesting. And like literally I would be talking to my friend
about
how
we need
like a movie that's based on the Ramayana. I thought the Ramayana. But can you just tell the viewers and listeners what the Mahabharata is and maybe what your involvement, a little bit involved
in
that?
Okay, so there's a lot of books based on Hindu mythology. Two of the most famous ones are Ramayana and Mahabharata. Ramayana is a beautiful story, you know, where two princes and one of the older princes' wives is kidnapped and she's held hostage in Sri Lanka or Lanka. And it's the story of how he goes to win her wife back and he takes a war to go get his wife back. And Mahabharata is a story about five princes who, the Pandavas, who were essentially ousted from their rightful inheritance of the throne. And it's by an evil cousin. It's a story about greed. It's kind of like Game of Thrones. And they were exiled unfairly and, you know, cheated in a game and their wife was molested. And so now they're going to go and wage this insane war to go, a huge, massive world war to go win their kingdom back. It's very cool stories. They're very culturally complex. They're very intricate. A lot of people want to make movies about them because it's just some of the largest story franchises in the world.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest messages we even see in today's media about sacrifice, about greed, right? War. So.
Oh, yeah. They're all actually very politically relevant. It's funny, you look at all these, like, medieval stories, but they're actually, like, completely happening right now, except without swords, there's guns and...
But there's also a lot of love. Like, it's sacrifice for love. It's a war for love.
That's why
I think Bollywood is the way it is, why Indians are so joyous. It's because we all do it out of some sort of celebration for love, right? So that's, I think... Well, how will you... Okay, yeah, go on, sorry.
Yeah, what is your role?
Role? Shirt off Bollywood dancing. That's all I... That is my role in every project. It's in my contract. I'm currently trying to see if I can spin a couple of those stories into modern-day adaptations in a huge blockbuster commercial form. And I've got to meet some incredible people here, both in Hollywood and India, and I'm actually in the process of trying to see if I can bridge the gap. Now, it's not necessarily going to be the Mahabharata or the Ramayana, but all I can say, it's going to be based on Hindu mythology. And a lot of characters will be very similar or exactly the same from some of these stories. And I'm incorporating a lot of gods into the story. So it's kind of this, like, huge, high-budget, high-concept fantasy project with wars between gods and men and Earth and different worlds. And it's colorful.
War between God and man?
Yeah, it's a little
interesting. There has to be a war between God and man.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Everybody's involved. There's gods involved. There's men involved. And there's gods from different sides. I've been studying a lot of Hindu mythology over the last, like, 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And I think I've finally, you know, come up with something that could work. So,
but also fit in today's modern twist.
Yeah. Like, so, for example, the producers and people I've been meeting with here who are Hollywood, completely English commercial, I guess, producers and executives, none of them had any familiarity with Hindu mythology to start with.
Right.
But from start to finish of my projects, they completely understood. And
what was kind of one thing you had to tell them to explain it, like in their voice, I mean, in their language, how would you translate Hindu mythology?
Well, Hindu mythology is huge, but the story that I talked about, it was just about betrayal between family leads to war, and that's it.
Okay,
it's really that simple. And if you think about it, the root of a lot of those stories is the exact same as any of the stories that we have here.
Yeah.
It was just really long and complicated and intricate and really culturally heavy, filled with chicken tikka masala. So you have to, like, keep some of the chicken tikka masala and then add that Hollywood flair and that beautiful visual spectacle to make it appealing to everybody around the world, not just Indians.
And especially since Greek mythology stories have been so huge in film, I could totally see how the translation with Hindu mythology films would be huge international blockbusters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think so. And I feel fortunate that I'm in a position, I think, to walk that line, because a lot of people, there's always domestic content within India being churned out for this, but they kind of have the Bollywood, Indian, Hindu angle on it. It's very kind of like in that bubble.
Yeah.
And then there's people here in Hollywood who are familiar with the stories, but they don't know how to, you know, even start decrypting all of this for an international film, maintain the cultural sensitivity, and find something that appeals to everyone and doesn't start another actual world war.
Yeah, I know.
So I was kind of lucky that I was walking both the cultural line of having projects and an understanding of the religious, cultural, and sensitive material, and also the Hollywood line of what works in mainstream studio television and feature films.
It's hard to achieve that balance, but
yeah, it's a really fine
ABCDs,
line.
Y'all.
Yeah, exactly.
But it seems like you'd be
American
the perfect
Born
agent
Confused
for that,
by the way.
Huh? Oh, I was saying it seems like you'd be the perfect agent for that.
I hope so. It seems that way. So let's see.
And you have a book. Like, come on, Sonny, just stop it now.
Can you stop being... Actually, continue.
God loves everyone except you. Is that the name of the book?
Yeah,
is it going to be coming
out
soon?
I hope so. Okay. So that book is actually just still a manuscript. It's probably about 350 pages long.
Okay.
It was just a collection of stories that I was writing through college, through high school. Just a comedic nonfiction riot of college stories, party stories, relationships, family issues. I think it'll be relatable to everybody who's young. And I've literally just started meeting with agents for that. It's still in the early phases. But that book has also turned into a concept for an animated television series, which I'm not pitching now. So
cool.
I don't know which would come first, either the book or the TV series or both at the same time. But
why not all at the same time?
I can't handle
it. Probably book first.
I think so.
I think more people are geared towards watching it after they hear it's based on a book.
Yeah.
And a lot of TV shows nowadays are
gives a lot of credibility.
But the fact is you also wrote the book and you'd be helping it with the animated. So that's different. I think a lot of writers adapt it from another author.
Of course.
So
yeah.
Wow. Y'all, watch out for Sonny T, okay?
No.
He is the definition of ambition and innovation. But thank you so much for coming out today. We really appreciate it. Is there anything that you wanted to ask last
you
we asked
pretty
for?
Much wrapped it up, except for the ladies. What's going on in your...
I heard that Sonny is very private, but over here we don't believe
private.
In that, so you have to just tell it when we ask, all right?
I am private. I think there is someone in my life right now, and we're trying to
There were a lot of
out.
Like rumors on like Urban Asian.
That's why I'm asking.
Wow. Yeah. What are the rumors?
What? Like, oh, we
I
saw
am dating
Sunny
Beyonce.
T-
were those the rumors? Yeah. We're totally dating.
We saw
dating.
Sunny walking out with this girl. We saw Sunny doing this girl. Damn.
Wow. I just walk out with a lot of girls. I like wait at Starbucks and then it's the hottest girl that walks through. I just like just quickly walk through. Like, can someone get that on camera? Yeah, but there's someone right now who's special and she's... she's very different. She's very grounded and very awesome. And,
good.
You know, she also works in the industry, but we both see eye to eye and I think we're going to just take it easy. I think we're both very ambitious. The good thing is right now we're both in our hustle phases and our struggle phases. And if you get too lost in like the fantasy land of, oh, let's just focus on the relationship too early, I don't think either of us are ready for that, so...
I'm sure we all made those mistakes, guys, in our relationships.
Yes.
This is a very relatable topic, but I'm happy for you.
Thank
very
you.
Happy.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this week's Bolly What. I hope you enjoyed it. As usual, make sure to follow Popcorn Talk on all platforms, YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, as well as Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Like us, subscribe, comment. We love hearing from you. I'm your host, Kanika Lal. Make sure to follow me on... Twitter at Kanika Lal, Instagram at You Can Have It Lal, and my YouTube channel, Kanika Connects.
Guys, you can keep up with me on Twitter and on Instagram at VivaciouslyViv, and then also VivaciouslyVivian.com.
And of course...
You can't even keep up with me, so don't even...
Let's keep up with Sunny.
I just made an Instagram. It's at FunnySunnyT, so if you're really bored, give it a like or whatever. Follow. I don't even know how social media works. One of those things.
Yeah, one of those things. Yeah. All right, thanks, guys, and see you next time.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.